Last week I preached on sacrifice, and give me the grace to just single out these two that Albert so beautifully prayed over. They've sacrificed so much in just sowing in worship and just sowing into this church community that moments like today kind of seems normal these days, but it was because of seed sown. Not only them, many of you, but I know it's blessed me so much. So thank you, Peter and Karin, we honor you. Thank you for sacrifice. And that what I preached last week on, you guys have lived. And thank you that we can enjoy rivers like this morning. Who were blessed this morning? Amen. Whose faith was stirred, even hearts turned this morning? I believe mine. Close your eyes, please. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, have your way. Jesus, please speak. Jesus, please empower. Jesus, please open up hearts. Jesus, please let your will be done in every life. Have your will be done in this church. Amen. Now, I'm hopefully landing the theme of life, the series of life this morning. It's a six-part series. You can go and listen to it. I believe it's edifying, and I believe it's encouraging. It's an encouraging theme. It's encouraging truth spoken by, I guess, four of us in total. Just stirring us that if people should come into our sphere of influence, our life, our job, our social circle, or our church, what is it that we believe they're hungry for, and what do they need? And that's obviously life. We said there's different types of life. There's physical life. See, Benesier. Strong physical life in the legs. There's a psyche life where it's your soul man, your will, your emotions, etc. And then the one that we are obviously focusing on is Zoe life. That is a God-like life that only comes from God. And so I can be in a conversation with somebody, I can have a coffee, and there can be life, can be a lot of soul, it can be a deep conversation, but it's not Zoe life. In other words, it's not going to be eternal. It's not going to edify me. And so people out there in the world without the Spirit still have a form of life, but it's not eternal. It's not God life, God-like. There's even churches or ministries that might be out there, with all due respect, that does not have Zoe life. But we want to be known for a river of Zoe life. What does the word say, by the way? Streams of living waters will flow, gush from your belly. Who saw that this week in their life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's room for improvement. Come on, 2019, we're waiting for you. But we should all be rivers in deserts. Zoe life rivers in deserts. They're where it's crazy. I was in Monday or Tuesday in ICU attending to my mother. And in that place where you're shocked, where you're distraught, where you're like, what the heck? Where you're like, not this. You need to dig deep and say, Lord, where's Zoe? I've kind of missed Zoe. Where is she? Where is Zoe life? That's a joke. Anyway. Where is Zoe life in this place? And when you dig deep, the Lord comes through. When you start praying in tongues, when you remind yourself of the word, when you're like, Mom, you're a spirit, you're not your flesh. You're an eternal being. Yes, your flesh is not in a good space, let's be honest. And yes, this sucks, but you're not a spirit. This is not your identity. And I could minister in that place to her by the grace of God. Can't be a pastor, I can just be a son. But in that place, I could minister to her. And so we want to be known for that, because otherwise there's nothing to give. So the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. What was that verse that we held on throughout this series? What was the one verse that I highlighted so many times, which I believe is a cornerstone verse? John 6 verse 63. Yes, great. Did your homework. Hallelujah. Jesus, help us. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. I would have put much stronger words in there, but I didn't write the Bible. Praise God. I would have needed spell check. But anyway, the Spirit is the one who gives life. And in church, in small group, in Men's Monday, or the women's discipleship group, or a coffee, or a WhatsApp, the one that will bring life to the one receiving on the other end will only be the Spirit. You, in and of yourself, ekinyom, who freaking oulik jy is nie. Who, how great a personality or charismatic or whatever the heck you might be, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you will not give life. He is the life-giving Spirit. And so, What we held on to was the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. This is one that we need to remember even today. Now we're moving on. We're doing the last one. I called it Zoe's lunch. What do you think Zoe has got in her lunchbox? Life, yes. Sandwiches. What type of sandwiches? Bread. What type of bread? Gluten-free. That wasn't exactly where I was going, but it's a good one. I guess it is gluten-free because it's Jesus. Who's ever heard of the bread of life? Now, I believe Zoe's got in a lunchbox the bread of life. It's a nice way to remember this. But the only thing that's really good for Zoe's life is the bread of life. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. Gluten-free. Thank you for that, Sam. I'll remember that. I don't like to use an analogy of church as anything but family or that which is scriptural. But if we should, please don't do it because it's not, I believe, theologically correct. But if we should venture off and say a church is a restaurant, what would the menu look like? Quickly. Anybody? Fillet steak. Okay, cool. Good point. What else? Crunchy salad. Okay. Good point. Not as good, but also kind of a good point. Lots of chocolate puddings. Okay, cool. Gourmet hamburgers. Nutritious. Something gluten-free. Yes, absolutely. Would there be lots of variety if a church was a restaurant or little variety? Lots. Yes and no. Yes and no. Remember, we're playing a game here. Please don't take this home and write a book about it and have a bestseller. Be careful. We're just playing along, just sketching a picture. You say there will be lots of variety. If a church should be a restaurant, lots of variety. Isn't that more cultural than it is biblical? There's one or two people still on track with me, so please just give a moment, Narina. What I'm getting to is that in our culture, when people get to your home, when they get to your small group, when they get to your church, we want what we have in a mall. We've got a consumerist mindset that I'd like this and I'd like that and I'd like this, that and the other. Who's ever had that with Christ? Who's been able to change Christ? Any of you guys? I would say a restaurant, and remember, it's just a game, please don't, this is not the foundation of a sermon. If church should have been a restaurant, there would have been one dish. Bloody good dish. Solid dish. Not much more. And it will be the perfect recipe, a God-given recipe, that those giving and dishing and waitering it cannot change. And if they should change that, it will no longer be, let's say, applicable. I would say it will be quality over quantity. You don't have to agree. Let's go and look at a little bit of scripture. You can go to 1.1 and then 1.1.1, please. Just before we do that, at the first part of the series, we looked at John 6, and I said, as we went into John 6:63, the Spirit is the one that gives life. I said, we're going to come back. There's lots and lots in it. And today we're going to quickly just go back to John 6. Now, I read in the Bible that there was, way back, there was public readings, just reading of the Word. And today might feel to you like a public reading because I couldn't leave out anything. I just believe we need to look at a big fat chunk of Scripture. Who's excited with me? Amen. Amen. One dish wonder. Hey, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. But I realize there's nothing you can chop and change. And if you do in our culture start chopping and changing Christ, you lose Christ. You start keeping people happy, but you're missing God. For it's the Spirit that gives life. And the Spirit can only move for where Christ is given, as Christ is given to us through the Word. But when you start chopping and changing because Jenny just doesn't like it that way, we run into trouble. And that is what I believe the Spirit is saying to us. Hey guys, we need to give life. We need to give Zoe life. But we can only give the bread of life and nothing else. If people or the world or the culture or demonic influences say, but I want the bread of life, but I want it with a touch of that, or a bit less of that, we're going to go into religion. We're going to go into people pleasing. And that is just what we need to be careful for. I'm going to walk us through the word this morning. And I'm going to trust that there's going to be different keys for different people, because this is Christ preaching. I'm just going to read it. But let Christ preach to you this morning. Let the word, let John 6, or a big part of John 6, just talk to you this morning. Because in my case, where I lead small group or Men's Monday, or come preaching, or I just share the gospel with my neighbor or with my children, my heart's cry is that what I will give is Christ and nothing more or nothing less. The gospel and nothing more or nothing less. I'm not saying that, hey, we can't put it in a different context, in a better way, etc. But there's essential things that the enemy would love you to change, would love us to change and tweak, so that the spirit is on the back burner, so that the crowd can be happy. But I trust that we as a people will not be fans of Jesus Christ, but followers. Not fans of Jesus Christ, but family. Who knows that there's a bit of a difference between a fan and a follower, a fan and family? A fan cheers you on whilst it's lacquer, while you're scoring, whilst you're winning. A family member doesn't only cheer you on when you're winning. If it happens in your family, we need to chat. But there's a massive difference between a fan and a follower, or a fan and a family member. Who do I want to walk in that door? A bunch of fans that we need to keep happy? Do I want us to be a bunch of Jesus fans because it's comfortable? No. I want the gospel. We need to be followers. We need to be family. At the rate I'm going now, no, at the rate that Ryan's going now, we're never going to finish. We can go down a bit. I'm at Jesus, the bread of life, John 6. Remember, when we read through the scripture, I believe an interpretation, let's call it a map key, that we can use is John 6:63. Why? Because he says that the words that I'm speaking, or the words that I've spoken, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, he's using metaphors. That we know by now. But let's just jump into the scripture. Remember context? The Lord is saying, hey man, you need to be kingsmen, redeemers. What about the lost? God's heart is crying for the lost. He's saying, we need to be people of life. But we need to be careful that it's God life. And hence today we're looking at what is the bread of life. If the hungry should come to your door, if the hungry should sit at the table, across the table from you, how are you going to give them the bread of life? Or if they're not interested in the bread of life, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's look at scripture. You can go to the next one. Thank you. I'm going to pray for us again. Lord, thank you for the word. For the word is powerful. Thank you for the sword of the word that will come and cut. That will distinguish between soul and spirit this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that Rhema words will come from this piece of scripture into the heart of your people today, as it's come into my heart. Thank you, Lord, that our faith will not be based on my words, but your spirit and power through your living word. I pray, Lord, that the attention will be on your spirit and what you're saying to us individually. In Jesus' name. Are you ready to jump into this? Amen. Cool. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them. Who's ever saw Jesus or heard Jesus answer a question that was asked? He really does that. People ask a question and he answers their hearts. Or he poses another question. Or he just starts a whole different conversation altogether. Who's got an Oma of Opa like that? But Jesus did it for good reason. There wasn't anything wrong with him. He wasn't old. He was just very smart and in the spirit. Let's look at it. They ask him, how did you get here? Look what he says. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. That's kind of rude, eh? So how do you get your car here? You're actually here just for the Psalmies.
How did you know?
So immediately he just jumps in there. What happened prior to this is he fed the 5,000. Then he walked on water. So he supernaturally got to the other side of the lake. They're like, we know the amount of boats. We saw your disciples go without you. How did you get here? Wanting to actually know, when are we going to have lunch again? And he spots that. I need to ask myself, am I sometimes just there with Jesus for the lunch? Or am I there for Jesus? Am I sometimes in church just for the Psalmies? Or am I here for the Spirit? So it's something that the Spirit convicts me. Let's move on. Verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. It's like, please guys, stay with me because there's lots of good stuff this morning. They're like, how did you get here? He says, don't work for the food that spoils. It's like, did you not hear my question? But again, he goes to the heart. He goes to the heart. He goes to this, ultimately, he goes to the tug of war that we all sit with. What is this tug of war? The tug of war between the flesh, the physical, and the spiritual. Who of you are spirit? Amen. Where's your mind most of the time? Spirit or flesh? Working on it. Amen. But often flesh. And so he's constantly, you'll see with these metaphors and his pictures and even his offenses, he's luring the crowd and saying, come out of that mindset. You're a spirit being. You can only be filled spiritually. So he says to them, do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Who of you just gets given food? Adults here, not children, obviously. Who of you just gets given food? Who of you need to work to earn money to buy food? Amen. All of us. Great stuff. Yet what does Christ say here? He uses that analogy and says, no, don't focus so much on the working and the toiling for the things that actually get spoiled. You're a spirit being. Shift your focus, for I will give it to you. What was the word that George brought this morning? He said, from slave to son. It's the same thing. Guys, we are called from slavery to sonship. Not to earn. For on him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. So one paragraph, they ask, how did you get here? He ends off with, and God has put on him the seal of approval. Meeste mense se tor het lank al geduik. They'll go like a little puppy, like, what just happened? I have no idea. But yet he speaks into identity issues. He says, you're actually here for the bread, for the physical stuff. And you know what? You're actually constantly just working, toiling, because you just want to eat and look after yourself, because you're so fixated with the physical realm. Now, quickly, in the message, if you just escalate it, just think of the culture, people that we are trusting the Lord for, where are they stuck? What if they come here, Christ wants to what? Lure them out of the physical realm, out of the flesh, out of the, was my brood. Jy het al die brood in die wêreld. Kom, come and rest. I hope you're with me. They coming and not seeing Christ. They don't want Christ. They just want the bread. They want the bread because they're actually just slaves at heart. He says you're working and toiling for stuff that spoils. You're constantly fixated on stuff that actually just go rotten. I've called you to a much bigger place, a much wider place, a place where you do not have to earn, do not have to be approved, where you're already approved, where you're a son and a daughter, where you eat for free. And even this morning you might go, ooh, I hear you, yes, but I need to go to my job tomorrow. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying we need to think about these things before we say to people, come. Moving on, verse 28. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? What is the work of God? I know in our culture, what is the work? It's 9 to 5, it's this, that, and the other, and much more. But what is the work of God? What is the work of God? They ask him. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent. This is the work of God. We need bread. He says, believe in Jesus. Anybody with me? The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent. This is what you should toil for. This is what you should work for. This is where your priority should be. This is where your focus should be. And even in our culture, this is a difficult one. Where should my focus be? Christ says it. What is believe here? Believe, I went to quickly go look at the Greek, is to have faith or to trust in. So it's very basic. Moving on. Verse 30. So they ask him, what sign will you give us, give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So he's saying, look here, don't work toil for these things. I give you eternal life, or you can have eternal life. Move from the physical to the spiritual. What happens? Default kicks in. You might be sitting here this morning and default kicks in. You might hear a revelation, and in Jesus' name I pray it's not the case, but default wants to kick in. But and immediately they just change the angle, but they're still after the bread. Are you going to show us a miracle? Why do they want to see a miracle? Because they're worried about the physical. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses, reference here could be obviously the works of the flesh, the law of the old covenant, who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life, Zoe life, to the world. So he says, you give your whole life, even speaking to me, the giver of life, the bread of life, you're chatting to me and you're worrying about physical stuff the whole time. He says, come out. And then like, yeah, how about a miracle for bread? And he's like, I am the bread from heaven. Moses didn't give you anything. They're like, okay, cool. Did we mention Psalmies? And so it's just, he's just having fun, I guess. Verse 34, sir, they said, always give us this bread. Remember, he ended off in verse 33. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They're like, I heard bread, yes, squirrel, yes, please give us that always. They're like, praise God, it's like Woolies got on tap and somebody else is paying. Yes, I want that. They have no idea what they're saying. No idea. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. It's like, huh? The Marty cars hum. I am the bread of life. Boom. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. People might walk into the door and say, I am hungry. We need to discern, what are you hungry for? We are sitting here this morning. We need to discern, what am I hungry for? What is enough? Broekie. Glutenfreie broekie. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He is the answer. Moving on, verse 36. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. So they've got a bit of a problem. All those the Father gives me will come to me. Here's a key for us as a church. All those the Father gives to me will come to me. We need the Father's help. In seeing redemption, in seeing salvation, we need to say, Father, please give all those that you want to give, the hungry ones for the bread of life in this area, give them to Jesus. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes, in other words, eats the bread of life, in him shall have eternal life, Zoe life. So we know that everybody that earnestly wants to see and believe Jesus Christ, the bread of life, will be filled. That is what we put our faith out for. And I will raise them up at the last day. Here's the interesting one, and here's where we need to test our hearts again. At this, the Jews there began to grumble. So they pushed. They're like, where were you? How about bread? How about a miracle for bread? And he's just going on about spiritual stuff. They're like, cool, when's lunch? So now they're like, okay, well, he's pushed the spirit stuff a bit too far now. So they start grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Like, what? Should we eat you? Yes, actually you should. There's sometimes stuff of the gospel that will offend our culture, guys. It will offend the flesh. If we think we're going to be this holy huddle that the culture is just going to love and soak up, and this is just like so lacquer, this is so amazing for the flesh, we should read the scriptures. Your neighbor might not be that interested in your bread of life. I'm not saying they will never be. The person that visits you, that you really earnestly have worked and toiled at that relationship, might just not have a taste for the bread you're eating. And that's okay. That's okay. That's really, really okay. Verse 42. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? That's probably why they say in Afrikaans, hy is 'n brood. It probably comes from here. Anyway, verse 42. Stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Here's another thing. We need to trust that the Lord draws. Lord, please draw those. Please draw those to Christ. Please draw those to the bread of life that you want to, Lord. And I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. I just fast forward through a couple of verses to get to the niggly bits. Verse 47. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. So we've got this now. He keeps on repeating. They keep on going to the flesh. He keeps on going to the spirit. They keep on going to the flesh. He keeps on going to the spirit. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. Hello? They worked, they toiled, they ate. They died. Please, I don't want you to die. I want you to have eternal life. That's why I focus and I tell you, I am the bread of life. Eat me. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh. Now here quickly, just he refers obviously to where he will die, give his sacrifice so that we can have salvation. We're on the other side of that, praise God. And then his blood flowed for atonement. So all of us have that. But I believe eating is not a once-off. Yes, salvation, you come to being born again once-off. But salvation is a working out. And so I believe, yes, you believe in him. In other words, you eat him, eat and drink him. But I believe it's an ongoing process. It's a daily thing to eat Jesus. It's a daily thing to say, I'm not going to work and toil and focus, put all my priorities, everything into working and toiling for the stuff that spoils. I'm not going to be hard-headed and get stuck and fixated. When's my salmi going to come? When's my salmi going to come? When's my salmi going to come? No, I want spiritual bread. I want a spiritual eternal inheritance. I want to eat Christ, the real bread of life, daily. Because you know what? I'm saying it later on, but who's ever heard this thing? You are what you eat. Now, I think it's Bayer. That's maybe a good Christian word to use in a sermon. It's very applicable. I want to say to you, Shofar Table, you are what you eat. If you eat Christ, you will become Christ-like. And guess what? Your neighbor can take a happy. Fat happy. What are they going to chew on? They're going to chew on the bread of life. But unless I don't eat the bread of life, there's not much bread of life that Charles is going to chew on in my company, in my fellowship. And I want to just encourage you, let's do exactly that. Verse 52, because I don't know where I stop. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us flesh to eat? So they're highly offended. Why? Because they're stuck in the flesh. They're stuck in the physical realm. Let's not be caught up in the flesh. Jesus is constantly taking his hearers, trying to drag them from the physical realm, saying, no, it's much bigger. We're spirit beings. And guess what? That is exactly what we do in church. We need to constantly say, come, come, brother, come, sister. Let's not get fixated. Let's not get stuck in the physical. Let's not get stuck in the flesh, the things of the material. Let's remember who we are, seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are a spirit made in His image and likeness, etc., etc. You're a spirit being. Like, oh, cool. Are we going to go play touchies? No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Yes, we are. No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You're a spirit being. Let's think bigger. Let's walk by the Spirit. And if somebody should come in, let's not keep them comfortable in the flesh. Let's not keep them comfortable with our culture. Let's give them living bread, for we know living bread. Verse 53. So Jesus said to them, I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you do not have life in yourselves. If you want to give Zoe life, what should we do? We need to eat the flesh of Jesus. We need to drink the blood of Jesus, metaphorically speaking. If in your workplace there's just no life, guess what you should do? If in your relationship with your mom or dad or your friends or your children, there's no Zoe life at the moment, what should you do? Eat Christ. Eat Christ. Eat Christ. So eating and drinking, what is it? To eat Christ is just to believe. Firstly, for salvation, and secondly, sanctification. Verse 54. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Or the other translation says, drink indeed. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. He just keeps on repeating them. They're like, breaky, breaky, breaky. He says, I'm the bread. Believe in me. It's a matter of faith. Working is what? Having faith in the kingdom. Having faith. Not trusting in my own works and ability like a slave, but as a son, having faith, having faith, having faith. Somebody else got the approval. I don't need the approval. Somebody else got the salary. I don't need to go get it again. Christ paid the perfect price so I can have it freely. I need to follow Him though. I need to eat Him though. And then, the last part. And here's what I want to take off a false religious burden of any of us, but I also want to test my own heart, and I want you to be tested in your own heart. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Are you a fan or are you a family member? For here's these people, they've seen miracles, they've heard about Him, and they've tasted bread that He's fed the 5,000. They've heard about the miracles. They know He's the supernatural. He's the real deal. Now He speaks to him this, for them seemed to be this gibberish about spiritual stuff and being bread Himself. And they're just like, are you going to do a miracle or not? Because I need to go do stuff. And He's got disciples. Who knows that Jesus had more than 12 disciples? Much more, in fact, at a stage. Up until this stage. Let's quickly read about it. And here's the telling thing, guys, and here's the test for all of our hearts. Many disciples deserts Jesus. Verse 60. Therefore, when many of the disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept this? Guys, the real Jesus sometimes is a bit hard. The real bread of life is sometimes a bit hard. For the flesh. For the culture. Jesus, knowing Himself that His disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where He was before? So He's again just speaking spirit. They're like, what? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and life. They are spirit and life. These metaphors are spirit and life. Come on, don't get stuck in the physical. Don't get stuck in the slave mentality. Don't get stuck there. There's much more with me. Verse 64. But there are some among you who don't believe. And Jesus knew about that from the beginning. Moving on. Verse 65. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted to him by the Father. And I want to just quickly highlight this last part. From the moment many of the disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him, therefore Jesus said to the 12 that was left. And so, by hearsay, and I've read it somewhere, that about 50 disciples at that stage says, I'm out. I'm out. This is too hard. And they turn. Jesus' response is interesting, and this is maybe what we should hear. Jesus' response is interesting because he turns to the 12, the ones that are left, and he says to them, do you also want to go? That's not very seeker sensitive, is it? That's pretty hardcore. So 50 leaves. I would have thought, oh, the budget, Jesus, how are we going to pay for everything? We've got bread. Hey, guys, choke net. Here's a couple of broekies. Come, come, come. And so the flesh would immediately want to appease. No, he's only got 12 left. For argument's sake, he had 70, 60 or 70. He's got 12 left. He turns around. He says, so, you know the road. I'm like, Jesus, no, don't do that. But he's Jesus. No, it's a good thing. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Therefore, he turned to the 12. You don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered. Simon Peter caught it. He says, Lord, who will we go to? Where will we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Not, I like the lunch with you. Get vars brood nie. He says, no, I've tasted, I've ate something, I've ate you, I've ate your spirit. You've got the words of eternal life. You've got life with you, you are life. Where will we go? We won't find it anywhere else. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. If we go out and love on people, we're not critical, we're not judgmental, hear my heart. What are we going to share? I believe we need to be on the lookout for the ones that says, the life of Christ is all I want. That, what you just said there, I want that. Where did that come from? Where did you hear that? I want that. I was sitting at a bar. I was sitting at a bar. It was probably after 3 a.m. Filling all the dots. Had conversation with Edna. She was this girl I met. And she said stuff that I've never heard in my life. And even being in a drunken stupor, I could see something's totally different. Saying stuff like, I'm not going to marry the guy, or I'm not going to date the guy that the Lord's not giving me to marry. And I'm like, I want what is in her glass. I want some of that because this woman is crazy. So I remember distinctly, I've meditated on it in the season. She said to me, Retief, liefde is a keuse. Love is a choice. Now you don't say stuff like the spirit next to a guy in a bar in Stellenbosch after 3 a.m. like that. I didn't plan on saying all of this. Maybe we should edit it out, but for now it feels good. She said to me, liefde is a keuse. Because I was broken, didn't believe in marriage, and didn't believe in love, didn't believe in much. Believed in what was in the glass at that stage, I believe. But I didn't eat anything, I never ate Christ, but I could hear something totally different. And that's the thing. By the grace of God, God lured me in, and he gave me a hunger for the bread of life. How do we eat the bread of life, guys? We eat the bread of life by faith, by asking. We eat the bread of life by getting into the Logos Word of God. We can eat lots of stuff out there, but if we're going to tell each other you are what you eat, here's the best place to start. Read and eat the Gospels. Read and eat the Gospels. How do I eat Christ? I spend time in His presence. You ate Christ this morning. It's different than the world. You could have done much lackadaisical things for your flesh. Let's be honest. Let's not put up a nice churchy face. Your flesh could have done a million other things that for your flesh will be much better. But it will not lead to eternal life. And so hence you're here this morning saying, I want the bread of life. And as I eat, I want others that's really hungry for the bread of life. Not the ones that turn away. I want the ones that want the real deal. I want them. what we eat, we will become. Can somebody just very quickly help us just to quickly hand out communion? We're going to take communion as we end off. As we land this series of life, I'm going to trust that in our conversations with one another, no, firstly, for myself, I need to discern, what am I busy with in my life that's not Zoe life? Where am I busy? What am I doing in my life that's actually not the bread of life? And then for us as a people, let's make sure that we don't have Jesus plus one, Jesus minus one. We don't chop and change the recipe. That we stay true to the gospel, not to try to impress people. We love people, but we don't impress people. Because if Jesus himself were in a situation where 50 turned his back on him, chances are well, 50 might turn their back now and again on you. Just make sure you've got the right bread. And make sure you're happy with the right bread. Yes?
It's one we all know, but something that came to mind when you brought that message, Retief, was that what is the ingredient of that bread? And it came to me that organic love, no additions, no false additions, and John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Love that. Thanks, Mike. Thank you for your obedience. Absolutely. Because let's be honest, the flesh, the egocentric being that we sometimes have as humans, are challenged to chop and to change or to take edges off or to go into the gray for the sake of the fear of man and not the fear of the Lord. And I believe Christ is just calling my heart to a place of organic love, authentic Christ, the bread of life. The bread of life that is by the Spirit of God. Not by my formula, not by orange. Even though I love my church, make no mistake, but it's not by orange. It's not even by a perfect school hall we learned this year. But it's a heart condition. And so let's take communion this morning. Luke 22, 19 to 20 says, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Lord, thank you this morning. We come and we bring the bread before you and we say, thank you, Christ, that we can eat you. Thank you, Christ, that we can eat you. And we know it's not a physical thing. It's about your spirit. We can just take in, Lord. When you eat something, it means it goes into your inside. It doesn't stay fluffy. It doesn't stay on the outside. May Christ not stay on our outside. May Christ, the living bread, come deep into our insides as we take this morning. Firstly, we ask for forgiveness for all of our sins as we take communion. We do not take a curse upon ourselves, any of us, or our families. But we come humbly and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Christ, that you're enough. Thank you that your price is enough. Thank you that your blood is enough. But even to a challenging culture out there, that we can just keep on saying, Christ is enough. Christ is enough. Thank you, Lord, that I pray that the spiritual truth of being a covenant people will be evident in this moment for us and our families, everybody in this church community, but all throughout December in the holidays as we return. Thank you that as we take this, we eat Christ and say we want to be one with him, we want to be like him, we want to only represent the bread of life, but we also say thank you that we are in covenant and we are protected, we are covered, and that he is our God. Let's eat together. Thank you, Lord, that your blood washes us clean. Thank you that our scripture says it also established the new covenant. In other words, we're not in the law, we don't perform, we're not slaves, we don't have to work and to toil for stuff that's spoiled. We now freely receive by faith because the stamp of approval is upon you, and hence through faith upon us. So Lord, I come and ask that performance and toiling in the flesh and striving and the yokes and bondage upon us in this church community will be broken today. That sonship revelation will come through. That yes, if we work, then we work firstly because we're spirit, because we have faith in Christ. We know that He will provide. He will give the living bread and the physical bread. And that any false yoke of the flesh and of the culture and of any demonic forces will be broken this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you. May we be a free people to be obedient to whatever you lead us to do. Not obedient to the fears and the slavery of this culture or of the world or of the old covenant. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Will you just stand with me? I just want to pray one last thing. Father God, thank you that there's no performance upon us to be anything more or anything less than living bread eaters. We don't have to have special t-shirts or better coffee as long as we eat the real bread of life according to the gospel of the Lord, according to the word of God, according to the Spirit. I pray for that grace upon this church, Lord. Nothing more, nothing less, just the bread of life. And what we then share, may it also be nothing more, nothing less, just the bread of life. By your grace. In a personal way, and a personal anointing, and a personal gifting, obviously, as you grant. But may it be Christ and Christ alone. And lastly, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As the word says, all those the Father gives me will come to me. Thank you, God, for in 2019, giving Jesus more to come to Him. Thank you in this area, in this region, you will give, Father, more to come to Jesus, to have living bread. We say thank you and we look forward to that in Jesus' name. And for us as a church community and our families, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.